It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, where you live in Wisconsin can have a big impact on your overall health. A population researcher tells us why health outcomes can vary so much between counties.
Now in its first official action since the emergence of a photo showing male high school students giving what appears to be a Nazi salute, the Baraboo School Board has approved an anti-hate resolution.
It's called Baraboo United Against Hate. It commits to providing an inclusive learning environment without regard to a student's sex, race, religion, national origin, ancestry, color, creed, and more. One school board member reportedly said the proclamation is just the beginning.
The photo, featuring about 60 boys, was taken last spring outside the Sauk County Courthouse. The photographer says the boys were following his instruction to wave goodbye to their parents before heading to prom. The photo went viral this month after a reporter in New York tweeted it.
Last week, school officials decided not to punish any of the students because they said it's impossible to know their intent. They added that the students' speech is protected by the First Amendment.
Jeff Spitzer-Resnick is a civil rights lawyer in Madison who specializes in education law and school discipline. He's also the president of the Sharei Shamayim Synagogue in Madison, and he wrote an open letter to the Baraboo School District. Jeff, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome.
A lot here to get into. Let's start with this idea of the school district saying we can't punish the kids. Even if we wanted to, there would be First Amendment concerns there. What's your read on that?
Well, I have two reactions. First of all, I want to be clear. I have never advocated punishing these children. I think the issue is around education or lack thereof leading up to this incident, and now the need to educate further, and I'm glad to see the Baraboo School District appears to at least be starting that process. My concern around throwing up a so-called First Amendment shield around this Nazi salute is I think it sends the wrong message and is actually counter to the intention of educating not only these students, but the rest of the public. What is the message being sent when the first statement that the district says around so-called discipline is the First Amendment protects his speech? First of all, as you said in your lead up, if this is just a wave, then there's no need to even be discussing the First Amendment. So it lends a lot more credence to the fact that it wasn't just a wave. Second of all, as I wrote in a follow-up op-ed around First Amendment, what I called hypocrisy, there are school districts all around the state, and it's been in the news, that routinely punish, for example, kids of color who flash gang signs. And how is this any different? While I generally defend children from being punished for, frankly, all kinds of activity, the issue is, what's the message the school district is sending? And by saying the First Amendment protects you, it's, I think, sending the wrong message.
A big part, as you said, of your open letter wasn't so much about whether or not students should be disciplined, but what kind of conversations and education should be going on now and maybe should have been going on previous to this incident. What kind of things would you like to see in our schools when it comes to talking about Nazi symbolism, Holocaust history, and more?
Well, I think there are a number of things, and you've touched on a couple. First is certainly, of course, Holocaust education and Nazi symbolism, but it's important to put this in the context of a larger and very unfortunate movement in our country that's been emerging, particularly since the 2016 election, where safe space has been given by our president and many other politicians to white nationalism. And this Nazi salute is a symbol of white nationalism. So it goes far beyond anti-Semitism. And let's not forget that the Nazis didn't want to just wipe out the Jewish people. They may have been their number one target, but they targeted anyone else who they didn't consider so-called Aryan. But second of all, I think students need to learn what I think is a very important really thinking process known as critical thinking. I suspect that many of those students who engaged in that behavior did not really know what they were doing, some of whom have actually publicly come out saying that they were, either feel bad about it or, in fact, didn't participate in it. How do students learn? How do children learn when to make tough choices? And that's a critical thinking process. Last but not least, I really think that every school district should have a quality restorative justice program where, whether or not it's a crime or not, when I will call it harm has been done, and there's no doubt there's been harm done by this picture, how do you restore the situation for the victims of the harm? And you can define all kinds of different victims, whether it's Jewish students, students of color, students who may be in other oppressed minorities. And there are really well-thought-out programs involved in restorative justice to, you know, help heal.
Talking to Jeff Spitzer Resnick, civil rights lawyer in Madison, talking about the photo of the apparent Nazi salute among students in the Baraboo School District, the district's response, and what he'd like to see happen. And Jeff, you're talking about training and critical thinking and putting these things in context. It seems like it'd be easy for a school district or any organization to kind of check off a box. Okay, we had a seminar, or we had a some kind of get together, an assembly. We talked about these things. Boom, we're done. What's the difference between that kind of checking off a box and something that really is ongoing and effective?
You know, I think that's a really good point that you make it, and it's really a matter of not just training and educating your students. It also means training your staff. Not every staff person has the background in these things to be able to give quality education. In fact, there was a recent article where a guardian of two students in Baraboo was commenting about how her two middle schoolers came home with very different responses from teachers, one of whom was, hey, this picture's not a problem, let's move on, another of whom really engaged the students in why it was a problem. That's right there in the same school district. What message is being sent to the different students when they're getting a different education? So that means there also needs to be accountability and checking up. Now, I don't expect the Baraboo School District, or frankly any school district, is going to fix this problem immediately, but it does mean really immersing the district in, you know, thorough curriculum, and that means training staff, using some of those professional education days that all districts have to really make sure that they're on board with this type of education and that the students are receiving a pretty similar message. And of course, that message may vary depending on their age, and frankly, I think we should be starting really young. Obviously, the message that's given to a kindergartner isn't the same as given to a 12th grader, but, you know, everybody needs to learn these lessons so that they don't get caught up in this kind of situation. Even social media lessons, how do you handle that? We're all learning the hard way that, you know, once these things go out, you don't have control. One student actually talked to me from Baraboo about wanting to put the genie back in the bottle. I bet there's a lot of people in Baraboo who'd like to do that. And I said, guess what? You don't get to put the genie back in the bottle. The question is, how do you learn to handle that genie?
We're at an interesting time right now, I think it's fair to say, but historically we're at a point when the people who survived the World War II era, the last of them are leaving us, Holocaust survivors, veterans of World War II and more. Does it worry you now that we don't have that body of experience from people who saw the worst case scenario firsthand?
Well, that is a concern. However, there are some still left. In fact, you know, we have a member of our synagogue who talks to our school children about the experiences she had being a teen, and her family fled Germany. They ended up being, basically captive in Amsterdam, and she was kind of like a underground runner of messages as a teen. It's an incredible story, and hearing that from someone in the flesh is really important. But of course, as people age, that's 10 years from now probably going to be impossible. I believe there's a program, believe it or not, in the Illinois Holocaust Museum where they have actually taken many, many videos of having Holocaust survivors answer questions and turn it into an interactive hologram where you can actually ask these hologram survivors, believe it or not, questions that they will answer. And they've done so many, and it's such a sophisticated program that almost any question that's on point, they'll be able to answer. Now, of course, it's not live and in the flesh, but it is a brilliant way of keeping that history alive. I would encourage, frankly, all school districts to take a field trip. You don't have to go all the way to Auschwitz or even the Washington Holocaust Memorial to, you know, experience that kind of education. There's also, even in Milwaukee, Milwaukee Center for Holocaust Education will bring speakers to school districts and have them learn about what really happened at the time.
And Jeff, as we wrap up, the incident, the photo that started all of this was in Baraboo. The response we're talking about is in the Baraboo area. This is not a uniquely Baraboo topic. What are you hoping other school districts are doing now, even though they aren't at front and center in this particular incident?
I'm really glad you asked that question. I've actually been contacted by another rural school district that is being proactive. They want to actually engage in the kind of education that I've just been talking about so that they don't have this problem. I think that this situation in Baraboo should be a wake-up moment for every school district, not just in Wisconsin, but everywhere, and particularly in rural areas where they may not be as diverse a population, so they may not be thinking that this is kind of so-called their problem. Well, Baraboo's finding out the hard way that it is their problem. And, you know, we live in a mobile society, both virtually and literally, so people will interact with people of all kinds of race, colors, and creeds. So, you know, everybody needs to know kind of everybody else's history and be sensitive to it.
Jeff, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Jeff Spitzer Resnick is a civil rights lawyer in Madison who specializes in education law and school discipline. He's also president of the Shirai Shamayim Synagogue in Madison. We talked with him about the latest developments on the photo of Baraboo High School students giving what appears to be a Nazi salute.